I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Maths Hysteria, a podcast all about Married at First Sight with me, comedian Omar Abid, wedding celebrant Sarah Clark at Sarah Clark Celebrates on Instagram, and Claire Limmer Abid. All right?
Hello. You're not feeling very well, are you?
No. Well, I'm saying all right and going, yeah.
Everything's great.
Absolutely fine. I just feel a bit nauseous.
Oh no.
I'm not hungover. It's not that. So I'm also not pregnant. It's well, not that.
Do you know what would make you feel more nauseous? Most of these men. It's not really a soother.
Yeah, let's talk about all this misogyny today to make me feel better.
Well, we just decided before we started recording, the best way to do it is, again, episode by episode, because we've had a weddings episode and then dinner party. They're quite distinct. And we know once we start about the dinner party,
we won't be able to stop.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to go.
It's a runaway train.
Yeah. I mean, that was off-air chat alongside all the scintillating what's your favourite fizzy drink chat.
You started us off and then made us prematurely stop talking.
I'm sipping
about
a little Coke Zero, so we were talking about the difference between Diet Coke, Coke Zero, Pepsi Max.
Pepsi Max is the best for me.
No. Disagree.
Well, you know, I'll put this at the end of the episode. So
we're sponsored by Coca-Cola. We paid millions.
Yeah. God, imagine that. Just crates of Diet Coke.
Wow.
You'd love that, wouldn't you?
Just to get a bigger fridge. They've got to be chilled.
Yeah.
And we are still selling tickets to our live event, April 11th, and Mel will be there in person. Just to reiterate that, because we're very excited to meet the lovely Mel. And I'm wondering what I need to do to wear to compete with those gorgeous outfits.
We had a planning meeting after our last recording session, didn't we? Had some Diet Cokes. Cokes all around.
We did.
We pants Diet Coke, please.
Yeah, so April 11th at The Stand in Newcastle. And you can get tickets at The Stand website. And we're really excited.
Yeah, they're going now. And it's not long to go now, 3 weeks.
No.
Ooh.
So
wow.
The ones that are left are going to go quickly, I think.
Like hotcakes. Veritable hotcakes.
So, should we get to the wedding episode Wednesday night?
The final wedding.
The final.
I hope.
Well, before we get to the wedding itself, because they had that thing again of the existing couples getting their invitations.
Oh, yeah.
And there was Tristan and Cassandra. We saw them. Their post-wedding
intervention.
Oh, we did, yes.
Before they had the intervention, they had the little review of the fallout kind of thing.
Oh.
The kind of breakfast
kind awkward, of time. Really awkward.
Yeah, where he was saying exactly the same thing as he'd been saying the day before. It's like, mate, you are locked in a I put it as he sounds like a quite petulant broken record.
Yeah.
Just going over the same thing again about her saying that she was bored.
And I don't think we said this last time, but he made that comment, didn't he? Yeah, I'm the dude, I'm the bad guy.
I know.
That's quite interesting. And he kept saying that, I'm the bad guy, I'm the bad guy. He was very stuck with that, wasn't he?
And obviously we know about the edit and we know people are shown in certain lights, but Cassandra is shown in such a lovely light. I almost can't imagine her having a horrible side that we're not seeing, where he would feel like, oh, I'm always the bad guy. Like, she seems very fair in how she
definitely deals with well the reason I wanted to bring up that little bit in particular was because people have been saying, why doesn't she make the first move? And that in itself is a fair bit of pressure to put on her to be responsible for.
I thought that myself at times. Yeah.
But and there was a bit where she said, I reach out to hold his hand and he pulls his hand away. Oh. So it's like, what do you do then?
Yeah,
I
mean, well, then you're not going to keep making the first move. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
But also that to me, like, it also smells a bit iffy because he's saying it's a confidence thing, making the first move. But if she's making the first move on holding his hand and he's pulling away, that's not like a confidence thing. That feels like something else.
Yeah.
This is Claire's favourite. He just doesn't like her.
Well, I don't know. I honestly don't know what it is, because I think they are both lovely people and they would probably suit if they were putting a bit more effort in. But I just don't understand saying, oh, I'm not confident to make the first move, but then when she tries to hold your hand,
you reject it.
Surely you'd hold it and be like, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for holding my hand.
Yeah.
Like, I like you.
Yeah. Maybe he just doesn't.
Well, when we saw that little kiss that they had, that one little kiss with the daffodil.
Oh yeah.
That was so long ago. I forgot that happened.
I'm clinging to that like a life raft, because it's all we've seen. Like Jack on the life raft.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we may as well jump to their intervention then, actually. We get these done.
Yeah.
And then get the honeymoons and all that done, and we can talk about the wedding. But the intervention, I think, John's whole thing of, your little rituals of
little
intimacy.
Little moments of connection and ritual.
All makes sense. And Tristan did his positive Tristan voice.
I know.
He's got two modes.
Yeah.
He was positive Tristan, like, yeah, sounds good. Oh, amazing. One-armed hug.
And
I just think it's not going to last.
Yeah, that hug was not special, was it, really?
Adult.
It was special in a certain way and not the one you want.
Oh, I know what you mean about he does that positive voice when it's almost like he just wants to draw a line under things. Like, yep, loud and clear, great, let's do it. And you've seen him say it at the beginning of, like, Intimacy Week or whatever. He's like, oh, yeah, this will be fun. And you know...
we're going to smash it.
But you know he doesn't mean it. Mm. But then what John was saying, I mean, sometimes it takes hearing something quite simple to listen, and he was saying quite simple things like go for a walk, have a coffee. These aren't like groundbreaking things that John is saying, but I think sometimes it does help to hear them as clear instructions from somebody. If I'm just thinking of examples, like when you see a sleep expert, if your baby won't sleep, they're just like, why don't you put them down?
Why don't you put them down?
Take them to the vet.
I couldn't finish that sentence. I couldn't even remember what they told me.
I'm so tired. I can't sleep.
I had twins that didn't sleep till they were like 10 months
old.
Oh
my God.
You see, like, an hour's sleep. And I know they gave me some advice, but now I can't remember what it was. But what I mean is sometimes you hear like really simple advice, but because somebody else is saying it, you're like, yeah, little moments of ritual, going for a coffee, great idea. And he can like anchor onto that and do it. But I don't believe that he will. Mm-hmm. I want to believe that he will.
I'm not sure he fully got the message.
No.
But time will tell.
Well, it's interesting.
Whose phrase was that, Ben? Time will tell.
I mean, a little jump forward. I thought it's interesting that him and Timothy have struck up a quite nice friendship.
Father, son.
That's so cute.
There are similarities, aren't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I might have compared them before in terms of they have this sort of pessimistic side, but they're both likeable. They're hugely likeable.
Yeah.
Because they share the same DNA. I wonder if there's any part of Timothy at 51 who's like, I'm not old enough to be this guy's dad. I wonder if he's actually a little bit insulted. Because obviously he is old enough. But in his head, he's probably like,
I
date 23-year-olds. Yeah. Come on, dude, I'm your friend, not your dad.
We saw Michael and Stephen on their honeymoon.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to Tasmania.
Tassie?
Yeah, which is where, do you remember Taylor?
I remember Taylor. I'm going back to Tassie. And then she was there the next morning. I'm like, where's Tassie? You didn't go.
Strides into the dinner party.
Yeah, exactly. Came out of the shadows.
With her long hair.
Yeah, she was very, very annoying.
She was.
But Stephen was, questioning Michael, saying, are you here for just anyone or...
That's like, the whole point of the show.
That's sort of the premise of the show.
I mean, that didn't make a lot of sense, did it, really?
They didn't have very long to find a replacement for Michael. If our theory's right, or your theory, Claire, they just plucked somebody from Instagram who was good-looking and available. He's lovely, I really like him, but does he not understand the construct of maths, potentially? He's not really a fan of the show. He didn't apply. Mm-hmm. He was plucked from obscurity doing his hairdressing. Has he got a bit confused
yeah.
about why Michael's on his...
So you think him and Madeline are in the same boat where she was confused by the recording?
Well, no. Yeah, no, I give Stephen much more credit, and I think he's really intelligent, but the fact that he keeps pushing this thing, it doesn't really make any sense. Like, Michael never met the other guy. He doesn't know if they were a good match. It wasn't his fault. Like, Michael's done nothing wrong.
Yeah.
If anything, Michael was, like, jilted and is now openly giving this other thing a chance, and Stephen needs to drop it. And I think he will.
It feels like there's something where they have to manufacture something for them to talk about.
Because
it is such an unusual thing that's happened in maths history. I get the producers might be saying, oh, just ask him about it. Because it's not happened before.
Could you say it was a red flag even if you don't quite feel that? But then I feel like they both seem like they've got genuine... I don't know whether they'd run with something the producers force them to say. That doesn't feel true to who they seem to be. But
yeah,
I know what you're saying. We shall ponder on that
yes.
one.
Yes, maybe he's more insecure than we realise.
Hopefully.
And we don't know that much about him, really.
You know, triggered something for him, I don't know.
Yeah, potentially.
The other honeymoon was Ash and Madeline.
So it was, yeah.
In Ulladulla.
In contrast.
One of them said Ulladulla, one said Ulladulla. I don't know what it's called. In what we shall be calling Madeline versus the cows.
I mean, it was the first bit. They were sat on that table.
Stop laughing.
They were sat on that table in the field, and it was very intense when she's going, "I love you for always accepting me and always being there. You're so loving and intelligent." I was like, "Fuck, it's been like 37 hours."
Yeah, that's generous. It is wild. The summer such that she says these huge sweeping sentences. I can't even say my sentence. And he. His expressions are priceless. I want a t-shirt of just loads of his face doing his expressions.
I was thinking
gold.
From the honeymoon, well, everything.
The wedding.
Honeymoon, dinner party. I want to put them all together.
And also, if you show them in chronological order, it's like this poor man is melting before our eyes. And then they had this, I mean, I know she was on her, like, high at the lunch, but he can sort of deal with that, I think, sometimes. And then when she started crying, when she saw the cows, the poor guy did not know what had happened. None of us did. It didn't make any sense.
And she let herself into that paddock.
Yeah.
Which I feel is not that safe.
Yeah.
No, and then she's asking them to come and say hello. It's okay, you can say hello.
No, I don't think, you know. Because of what we've done to them.
Yeah. You maybe want to be scared of them.
You know, like when you're a kid and you discover chicken is actually a chicken.
A living being.
Or bacon is from a pig and pigs were previously your favourite animal. It is quite shocking for a five-year-old, but I don't understand why she was suddenly upset by the concept of meat. I couldn't understand it.
She looked down and saw the massive leather boots she was wearing.
Like, I genuinely couldn't understand what the tears were about.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, is she being at all performative? Obviously her personality seems like that is her and she's being laid bare and wow. But maybe some of it is put on a little bit because what was with the cow tears?
It's not crocodile tears, cow tears.
Cry me a cow pat. Like, I don't understand. I didn't understand.
No.
Did you know that she mentioned she's an actress. She'd been in 100-odd episodes of Home and Away.
Wow. 100-odd.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, she's got the look for Home and Away.
Yeah. It's a long-standing character, that, is it?
I guess. I don't know. I mean, like, what's that?
Because it's week? A kind of...
Yeah.
No, well, yeah, you think that's like a third
couple
of a year.
Yeah. Oh.
Because if
Are
it's
they on...
Oh, it's on five times. Well, it used to be on every day.
Yeah, Neighbours and Home and Away used to be on like four or five
Daily.
Times a week.
Goodness
so.
Me.
So
well, a longish standing character.
Yeah. Do you think any of them would recognise her? Do Australian people watch Home and Away? Or just British people?
No, probably people had recognised
her. Yeah,
but this is it.
It's,
it doesn't mean she's there to perform or that she's there for insincere reasons. But It's hard to shake it.
Yeah, the once you know she's an actress.
Yeah.
But what would be the end goal in like crying about cows?
Is it just on Neighbours?
Is it just to get more screen time? Is it to like push this man and see how far till he breaks? Because he is losing his patience, which I kind of love to watch because it's just so funny.
I loved the bit at the dinner party, the cocktail party bit, where he was talking to Jono. And straight away it was just like, no, yeah, it was good, it was good. It was weird.
It was bizarre.
It just very quickly, within space of 3 seconds, went from it was good to I don't know what's going on.
But what was so sweet about that was it was the first time he would have been speaking to another human.
Yes.
Yeah. And I spotted that in his eyes. There was like a terror in his eyes of like contact with the outside. Like, he's been going through a really strange experience, like a one of a kind experience, bless him. And you could see that he was latching onto like another person. And being like, it was bizarre.
Yeah.
He's thinking, we could get through the end of this conversation and no one starts crying about cows.
Honestly.
What did you think of their dinner? Because that was the other part of their honeymoon, wasn't it?
Oh, she got the
their
download.
Dinner.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And she had the download at the dinner.
Well, he broke the fourth wall, and that was when it was starting to get really interesting. He was like mouthing at the camera. What the fuck?
Yeah.
And, sorry, if the listener didn't hear that, what the fuck?
That's a voice from another realm.
And you could see that, I mean, I do actually feel sorry for him, to be fair. It's not fair to come on this show and then be put with somebody who, if they knew that's what she was like, it doesn't feel like a legit couple. It feels like she's been put on there for ratings and he is the fall guy.
Yeah.
And so I felt for him. And also, what would you do in his shoes?
What could you do?
He handled it the best that he could. I mean, there isn't anything you can do. You just go, yep. Also,
who is it? Who's talking to you?
Yeah.
Who's trying to protect me?
Blessings on you.
Yeah. I love you beyond. But this isn't her fault because I misheard, especially when I thought she was talking about a dead ball.
I really honestly did
saying?
As well.
A deb ball, a debutant ball.
Oh, I thought it was like Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead.
Did you hear dead ball
of
as
course,
well?
Yeah.
So did
yeah.
I.
It was a thing on Twitter where most people thought they'd heard dead ball. But she would say a debutant.
Yeah,
ball.
I'm not sure I can
ball.
Picture Ash a debutant ball.
I guess it's something
I think
that's
like a prom. Like a formal
prom
or prom or whatever.
Yeah, that was the most bizarre few minutes of maths ever.
it was unique.
Yeah.
We've never seen anything like
that. Apart from the cows.
She wasn't even being overtly toxic. Obviously, it's not good for their relationship that she behaves like that. But she wasn't being mean to him or anything. She was just doing mad shit that you don't know.
And if you were channel hopping, you'd think you were watching like Touched by the Other Side or something. You'd think you were watching like Ghostbusters or something. You wouldn't know you're watching maths. Like, that was truly insane.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know whether it's better that this is authentically her or she's putting on a bit of a show for guests, for the audience. But
yeah.
This is the problem is that there's a lot of debate as well. It's like, if she's acting, that's annoying. But maybe that's better because otherwise I think she might be mentally ill.
Well, that's the problem. Like, on a serious note, this is a close cousin of what I would... schizophrenia? Like, something to hear voices and to... Mm-hmm. Me and Johnny had an interesting discussion about, you know, I've said about her pretty privilege.
Mm.
If that was a guy in the street and they looked maybe like they were unhoused or something and that, you know, you would be calling the police or you would at least have your guard up. But because she sat there on a date and looking gorgeous and it's like, we're excusing this really, really odd behaviour and we're trying to find reason for it. But it is, let's call a spade a spade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's mad. Like, I want to be kind, but if I was him on the other side of that table, I'd want a refund.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for going on this show, I'd want like
a do-over,
time accrued of like what I'd wasted applying, because I was like, this is not my wife.
Why didn't you put me with Natalie or something? At least that would have been all right.
Somebody messaged us on Instagram and said that.
Oh, that's probably why
he would have suited Natalie.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know if he what was the word she used? Nerdy, dorky.
He's not. I don't think he's quite
don't
that
think he's
nerdy.
Dorky enough.
No,
nerdy enough.
He's too much of a bad boy.
That's right. He's a bad boy
who eats cows for dinner.
Yeah, there's been a lot of. It always happens. This person would be better with that person. Jono would be better with Ellie. You know.
Oh, there's a lot of conspiracy that Jono fancies Ellie. We've had a few messages about
Jono
that.
Jono fancies Ellie.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
they would make
a
very
lovely, quite a lot of times.
Oh, yeah. Well, he says that about everything.
Yeah, that's true.
Final wedding of the series.
They really ended on a high.
Ridge, who was called Rich.
Yeah. Bridge.
That was it. Yeah.
What do you think Ridge is short for? Do you think it's short for something?
Ridgerton. It could just be his name.
It's just a name in and of itself.
Yeah, I think they've just chosen Ridge.
On the right person, it could be quite cool. But it's not D's. Oh my word.
Please don't let that become a thing. I don't want to hear that in my daily life.
I've been saying it a bit. It's the first time I said it to Claire, like, because we'd seen the episode sort of separately. And then we met up and I said, made tea. And I said, ah, oh, D's. You were so annoyed.
You're such a winder.
It's so irritating. I absolutely hate it.
It reminds me slightly, you probably didn't watch Anyways Essex, but Joey Essex had Reem.
I used to love Towie. Towie was my jam.
Reem stuck around for a while, but Joey Essex was very lovable.
Reem stuck around for a long time.
I think Ridge might be on a redeeming arc, but some of the stuff he said when we first met him was appalling.
He's seen people who are depressed. He don't want to be responsible for that. But he gets nothing from breaking hearts.
Oh, I know. But do you not think it's a bit Jay from The Inbetweeners to like keep acting like you know women so well and you've had all these women? Because the more you say it, the less I believe it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting that from a few of these bro types. Yeah. I'm like, I'm not believing that you are this Casanova. Because if you were, you wouldn't need to prove it. And keep saying like, breaking hearts all over Sydney.
But he is a good looking lad, isn't he?
He's a good looking lad, but not with that personality. Not with
He's fun though, isn't he? He seems like...
He's D's! Did you hear him say, I'm not going to get hard for a personality?
Yes,
well,
I did.
They'd cut that bit out, yeah.
Did they?
Because I was going to tweet about that. They said, now I do have to... I am worried if I don't find her attractive. Mm. It's important that I find her attractive because at the end of the day, I'm not going to get hard for a personality. Which... sounds awful, but let's be honest, there are other couples in the process who were struggling with that problem.
I guess.
Slightly awkward silence.
Are you saying he just words it differently? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, I mean, I think...
He's saying he's just crude with his words.
Physical attraction is important in a relationship.
Okay, but that sounds an awful lot better.
Yeah. I've got a question for you and I've got a question for the listeners. If you're on maths and you're about to... meet your married at first sight partner, would you be more worried that you'd fancy them or that they'd fancy you? Because he was only worried that he'd fancy her.
Yeah.
Safe in the assurance that she would fancy him. My fear would be that they wouldn't fancy me. And obviously that shows my insecurities, but I wouldn't worry about fancying them. I know that I would try. And I know that I'd want to get hard for a personality.
Yeah.
But it fascinates me when people come in here and they don't give a moment's thought to will they be fancy?
Yeah, will they like me?
Which is what Rich did. What would you do, Omar?
No, I'm just thinking about the merchandising opportunity of a t-shirt with your face on saying I get hard for personality. No, it's a fair point. I think I would be more worried about them fancying me.
Yeah.
I think
that's probably more normal.
Yeah, I think that's more normal.
It's a bit psychotic to just assume that you would be... I don't know. I just found it interesting.
Mm.
Yeah, and it's a good point. But I mean, he's cute.
He's a good looking boy.
When he was away from the lads.
Yeah. Those lads. This is what Johnny said. Johnny was like, get him away from those boys and he'll be better. And he was immediately a little bit better.
Yeah.
Those boys were not good influence on each other.
They were idiots. Like, I didn't even get what the guy was getting at when he said, is it Jade or is it Jade?
I did not understand that. It
wasn't a very good joke, but I think he was trying to be like, oh, are you one of those princesses with a stupid name? But then his friend's called Ridge.
Yeah.
But his vows... seemed to be to make his friends laugh.
Yeah, totally.
More
winking in the middle of your vows is not
literally heckling his friends and then saying like, oh, girls love that stuff. Oh, she's D's. Like, he kept turning away to laugh with his friends. I'm like, fuck's sake. Like, switch yourself
it
on.
It was about them, wasn't it?
But it was
it wasn't about her.
Completely. But also, I feel like he was acting like 17, 18, 19 rather than 27 or however old he is. I don't know how old he is. 26.
I think he is 27.
Oh, well, I'm psychic, so I can pluck an age out of the sky. And then he also said after, oh, girls love that stuff, safety and security, because her eyes lit up. When he said safety and security, her eyes lit up. And then when he said girls love that stuff, you could see her fall again. But then he said, I promise to always be respectful in his vows. And I was like, well, you've already failed it in the first 30 seconds.
Yeah.
But you haven't been respectful yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't start off on a good note with him, but I do feel like we've seen a nicer side of him moving away from the bros.
Yeah, lads.
I think we'll like him.
I think we will. I think he seems like a bit of a laugh, but when it's time to be serious, I think he's serious.
He has to be. He's a psychiatric nurse.
That's so true.
I was so surprised by that. True. That's like the most shocking job I think he could have.
Really?
Do you not think? That must be such a really, really hard-going job. Yeah. Like, horrendously hard. And he's choosing to do it.
Yeah.
So maybe this is why, in his personal life, everything's just fun. Everything's just great.
That's
everything's just fun.
Yeah.
We're up here all the time. It's perfect.
Because
at work, it's going to be horrendous.
Because he felt more like the personality of like a lifeguard.
Yeah.
On Bondi Beach. Yeah. Like, these waves, dude. And in fairness to him, she said she had a kid. And he didn't react badly.
Yeah.
He was a bit like, oh, cool, what's her name? Oh, cool. You could see that he was like trying to buy time a little bit, maybe.
Yeah.
But then he told the story about his own blended family, and I thought that was quite nice, like to make her feel at ease. And I thought that to give him a point.
Yeah,
he did really well.
Anytime he was by himself, he said something.
Locked away in solitary confinement, he was fine.
Yeah, I have first hand experience of how it can work. I see myself being a dad. I want to do what's best by Jade and myself in this experiment. I think he said.
Did you remember? Did you memorise that?
I've got the tweets up, so I can read stuff.
You've had it tattooed on your body.
Yeah. He seems decent. I think he'll...
Please don't just...
Oh, God. You see, this is how it happens.
You want to be in their gang, don't you, Moma?
Did you see Jaden, though? See Jaden at their wedding.
Oh, cringing. Yeah.
We couldn't tell what... There were points where he was cringing.
He had expression, but I don't know what he was trying to communicate.
He was quite raised eyebrows, didn't he? Like...
He was cringing, but it also felt like, I recognise this, which made sense because he'll have been...
Takes one to know one.
Yeah, exactly. And he wanted to be in it, but also like, ah, it's a bit immature.
I read it as more he was judging them and he's like 2 years older, so he's 2 years cooler. And like 2 years
like,
mature.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, I used to be like that. Last Christmas.
But then I went travelling and I'm a totally different person.
No, that's Tim.
Yeah.
No, that's Ben.
So something that might explain Jaden's expression at Ridge and Jade's wedding.
Right.
Is apparently, rumour has it, that Jaden and Jade have some history of hooking up.
No way.
Apparently
they did. Okay, so that would explain why they kept cutting to him to see his expressions. Because if the producers know, like, whether that's like retrospectively.
Have to put it in afterwards because they've found out.
That's so interesting.
But then there wasn't like a hint of that at the dinner party, was there?
No.
We didn't actually see them interact
no,
at the dinner party,
we
but
didn't.
Maybe that's something that
is
will come out.
Is Australia really such a small place? It's absolutely giant.
You wouldn't have thought so.
But it's a big country, but lots of unpopulated areas.
Yeah. Are they both from Sydney, maybe? I don't know. I've got no idea where Jaden's from.
Sorry, I had to get up and feed the cat. What is it?
You did wander
Jaden's,
off.
Jaden's...
This is a professional podcast.
Excuse me?
Jaden's
I was
the father
making
of her
a very important point.
He's the one who cheated. He made her sleep with his friend.
Maybe it was Jade.
Imagine if that came out.
Wow.
Best series ever.
I mean, there's no topping that next year.
Yeah. We just need Madeline to summon the dead grandmother of somebody around the dinner table and be a cracker.
Oh, I didn't say this. Like, we forgot to say that, you know, Ash's deceased brother.
Yeah.
Do you think Madeline at some point is going to say to him?
I really hope not, because that is treading too closely.
So
no, yeah, you can't do that. No. And if she starts messing around with that, I'll be cross, because, like, I think it's stupid that she's been put with him anyway. Like, poor guy. Like, it's hard work to him trying to work out what on earth she's coming across, what on earth she's saying. And then if she starts talking about his dead brother, like, that's not fair.
That would cross a line.
Yeah.
100%. I hope she realises that. And I hope if it happens...
I
know, I can tell from the way you asked the question, you're like lapping it up. You are mean.
We have to have some boundaries, even on maths.
That could be on a t-shirt.
I loved in the we'll get to the dinner party in a sec, but in the pre-dinner party bit when they're in their apartment, and she says, "I'm moody, have you noticed?" And you could see it.
said, yes.
Shit, what's my safest answer? Yeah. And he went, "Yes." And then braced himself.
Yeah, he did. He braced himself for impact.
How could you possibly say no, though, with a straight face? No, it's perfectly normal.
Stop it. I can't.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Dinner party, they had the brilliant thing again where they have different shots of Sydney. They had the lighthouse lighting up and things.
It's supposed to be symbolic.
It's dramatic.
Like, euphemistic.
It's like, this is where the series starts.
The clouds are rolling.
Yeah, exactly.
We're getting to it now.
What's quite sweet about Sydney people is, like, having clouds was unusual. Like, they all commented on the fact those clouds are like, we live in Newcastle.
Yeah. Imagine the drama that's
Talk
going on here.
Talk about clouds all the time.
We get so excited about a blue sky.
Yeah. So the rumour was going round.
Oh, for goodness sake.
That, somebody had told
somebody.
Another groom in the gym, hard cut to Jonna.
Yeah.
yeah. Mentioning no name, Jono ironing his shirt.
Shirtless Jono.
That this particular groom was waiting for the wife swap sort of feedback. They call it feedback week, but they were calling it wife swap week.
Mm.
And permission was granted for that groom to sleep with the bride.
No, any groom.
Any groom.
I think any groom.
Yeah. Whoever's available.
Just whatever. Yeah. Why discriminate?
Any get a groom. Ticket, queue up like you're at the deli.
Oh, man, no.
Just.
But it was Jack, by the way.
Yeah. Shock.
This is exactly what they did last time. Do you remember when there was the rumour about Jack's ex or whatever? They build it up as if we don't know it's Jack.
Of course we know it's Jack.
Of course we know who it is. Just tell us from the beginning.
I mean, I don't know if I've been looking forward to or dreading talking about Jack today.
I know.
Because he is horrific. He's horrific. The things he says are so disrespectful. And that's just the first one. We've got so much more that happened.
Yeah.
Like, to say that in the gym, like lad chat, I'm annoyed at Jono for not saying anything at the gym. Not for just being like, well, that's a weird thing to say. Like, can I stop you there? Because that's gross.
Yeah.
And
I don't know about that. Like,
what, that he'd just let anyone sleep with, like, he was basically like, yeah, like you say, like selling a, like a deli counter.
like a deli meat. Cow meat.
Well, I just think in that moment, Jack saying something in poor taste, it's not good.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're just there in the gym. I don't know if it's the place to be like, oh no, hang on now, that's out of order.
Well, Omar, to play the other side, if men don't speak up when other men are being horrifically misogynistic, then how does it end? Well, like, I'm not saying I expect Jono to wade in and write him, but just laughing along with a shit joke.
But I think...
can't expect Jono to wade in now.
It depends what he feels about Jack, which I guess we will come to, because I think that's an interesting dynamic.
It's a very interesting dynamic slash bullying slash...
Yeah,
because if that
manipulation.
If that was someone who... I'm in the same gym as them, you know, they're sort of trapped. They're all trapped together, basically. So you end up doing stuff with people in the outside world you otherwise might.
Mm.
But he's trapped there with Jack, who's saying some gross things.
Yeah.
You might just think, I'm not mates with this guy. I can't be arsed having a fuck. I'm not going to change his world for you. I can't be arsed having a conversation. We just go like, oh, yeah, all right, mate.
Yeah.
And then you go back and tell Lauren, like, fucking hell, this idiot, you should have heard what he was saying.
Yeah.
The problem is he didn't keep that energy, as they say.
Jonna. He did not keep that energy.
What was he doing? Let's not go off.
Yeah, I know. That's further along. The first thing I wanted to say was, did anyone notice that Ridge came dressed as the meme of The Rock? You know the meme of The Rock where he's wearing that turtleneck? Yeah. I love that picture. And you find out in that picture The Rock's like 15 years old. Yeah. That's what he came dressed as. I thought that was nice. Meme night on Maths.
I thought it was funny that Alessandra said to Mel, I don't understand him.
I know.
When he was talking.
I know. But, yeah, like, I'm agreed. I'm going to need
a translator.
Yeah, 100%. Mel was saying he's just doing the typical Aussie thing, which he'd mentioned to us before, actually, on our coercive control episode, which I feel we're going to have to end up reposting later in the series.
The typical Aussie thing of
just shortening everything.
Oh, yeah.
Everything gets abbreviated. Yeah.
And Tristan said
everything
he
gets abbreviated. yeah, it does.
Tristan said he didn't understand him either. And he said, maybe that's because I'm not cool.
Oh, the fact he thinks Ridge is quite sweet.
I liked when they revealed who was going to talk about the room. Lauren was just going, I'm going to go turn that dishwasher
on. I know.
Yeah, it's beeping. Get rid of it.
She's fast becoming not just one of my favourite people on the show, one of my favourite people in the world. She's so good.
She is. She is really good.
She's so watchable. Yeah. She doesn't take herself too seriously, but she's on the right side of history.
I loved it. The whole, like, he's misogynist, he's sexist. Loose lips sink ships. It's time the ship went down.
And then she's wearing that cool, like, 70s orange dress with the hair all flicked out. And I was like, this is a Charlie's Angel here to put shit right. Like, she is sensational. And it makes me want to almost rewatch that. I'm not. Makes me almost want to rewatch The Wedding, knowing that she doesn't take herself too seriously. Because actually, I was watching Gogglebox. Oh. And on Gogglebox, they were watching The Wedding. You know where Jono's sister was really tight-lipped and straight-laced and was like, well, I don't know about this. Yeah. And then she went, cleavage and Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, she was trying to show us from the start that she was fun time girl. Yeah. And I love her. I love her.
She was amazing in this episode.
This was her day. Like, she ruled this entire episode.
Absolutely.
With class.
And I've seen people say, sort of side with Tori, you know, the whole, this was the only way it could have happened. She did. She talked to the other girls, and then they took her aside and spoke to her.
I know they did it privately.
Yeah,
but also, there's no chance the producer's going to let someone send a text. Like, you know that they have to do stuff on camera. Like, we're not stupid. And so I reckon Lauren did the thing that she was told to do, but also as nicely as she could. Because she was genuinely nervous. She was and she kept saying to Jono in the taxi, you're going to back me, you're going to back me, which is a precursor. It's like given these little breadcrumbs of what's going to happen by seeing that get said and then not be seen through.
Foreshadowing.
But also, that's what I was looking for. Foreshadowing. And then Lauren's genuine nerves at how to do it. Like, she made her so more likable even more of, like, that nerves of, like, getting it right, because she genuinely does like Tori.
Yeah.
And genuinely hates Jack.
She's obviously, like, intelligent, Lauren. Like, because she knew what was going to happen.
Very intelligent.
And that she'd already put Jono on notice, like, yeah, you've told me. And his whole thing later on of, like, I told you in confidence, but what do you think I'm going to fucking do with that information?
I know. And in the cab, they agreed. He went back on his promise, exactly. Basically. Lauren's incredibly intelligent. The one thing I do want on a t-shirt is, don't play semantics with me.
what is the difference between sexual spark and attraction?
It's Jack looking for a way out of an argument.
Because I think I know what he was.
I think there is a slight difference. I think you can find someone attractive and not have a spark with them.
For example, right?
Don't point at me. I don't know which one of those is true.
No, all right. The example is Madeline.
Yeah. Nobody,
because you guys are talking about pretty privilege, and honestly, until you mentioned it, like, I don't find her attractive.
I don't either. Because
but so do you have a sexual spark?
I've got neither of those things, but I recognise there's a difference in that I would have no sexual spark with her, but I recognise now, I guess rationally, people find her attractive. But
no, I think that's different. I don't think that's the same thing.
Okay.
I think you can understand that somebody is attractive, but that doesn't mean you find them attractive.
Yeah.
That's true.
So then you don't find them attractive and you don't have a sexual spark with them. You just understand that other people would find them attractive.
But also the sexual spark thing is a shared, the sexual spark thing is surely a shared experience.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Whereas you can find someone attractive, you could like fancy a pop star, you're not going to have a sexual spark with them because they don't know that you exist. They don't know you.
Yeah, that's true.
So I guess like where Jack's argument might stand awful is that Tori is feeling it. He's telling her he's feeling it. He's not. Mm-hmm. So there's this created spark because he is being affectionate with her and kissing her and stuff and leading her on.
Mm.
So she would be well within her rights to feel like there's a spark because he's telling her there is.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not feeling it.
Yeah.
But I think the semantics there was him just trying to backpedal.
Yeah, he was just saying, course. I didn't say that. Absolutely. I didn't use those words.
If we were on that dinner table and he just said, there's two things here, what we just did the last 3 minutes of conversation would have been exactly what he wanted.
Yeah. We were just like, derailed the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. But that's what he tries to do. Even worse, you mentioned like the locker room talk. Not even worse, it's hard to pick out what the worst thing is. This idea fuzzle. That like, oh, it's banter. We, you know, it's the kind of sense of humour we have. It's absolute bullshit. Like, it's those kind of jokes. It's so disrespectful because, like, I hate when it's like, oh, dark, edgy, fucking stupid. Like, but you would never make that kind of joke.
Well, the thing I think is that she wasn't even in his presence. So it's beside the point. If they have a dark sense of humour, she wasn't even there. Mm-hmm. So slagging her off behind her back, it doesn't matter what her sense of humour is. She's not there to... You're not doing it to make her laugh.
Yeah.
She's not there to hear it. And the way she was talking about it was like, we're not playing cards against humanity. This isn't like dark humor off. This is just something that he is saying behind your back, slagging you off, disrespecting you. So her standing up for him was obviously like falling under his manipulative powers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she didn't believe what she was saying, I don't think.
No. Like, this is... She was saying, oh, it's fine, it's a sense of humour thing, but she was totally rattled.
Oh, completely.
Yeah, she was really hurt.
But when she was
Lauren
with the girls, she was ready to go for blood.
Yeah.
And then as soon as she had his hand on her, her hand on him, there was a sense of everything was under control and you're going to behave. And then, I mean, even if we rewind to when they were in the taxi... He went in with like a Hannibal Lecter kiss. Did you see that?
Oh yeah, pucker up.
But he went. Blah, 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 blah. He came. It was horrible.
Oh no, I didn't see that. Thank goodness.
It was horrible. But every time she agrees to toe the line, he'll give her a little bit of a kiss, a little bit of a hand hug.
Yeah.
And so, then at the dinner party when it was all going down the pan, you could see that there was touch there.
We've not even said the big thing that he said.
What, Jack?
Yeah. Shut your mouth. Can you muzzle your woman?
I actually paused the TV, stood up and screamed. Because I was so incensed. Like, that is so rude. It's not even... You can't even begin to talk about how rude that is because it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
We're in 2024. Oh, no. It makes me want him to be in jail. It makes me want him to be in jail because I don't trust him. If he would say that on national TV... At a dinner party, so in a social setting in real time, but also knowing it's being filmed.
Can I just say that that's suitable for the dinner table, but not the joke.
exactly. He's got. But if he would say that in public, in front of people that he are his peers, his wife, he knows he's being filmed. What the fuck does he say behind closed doors? Yeah. And how would he treat women when he's not being watched? Like, it's genuinely scary.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was horrified,
and he was angry as well.
Oh, he was furious.
Yeah.
He did not like having his position questioned.
Especially by a woman. Like,
that was the big thing.
It's beneath him to argue with a woman. Yeah. She should be in the kitchen. Like, it was so unbelievably bad. And I know that we'll come to this a little bit of, hopefully it was edited that way, but it felt like nobody stood up for her.
I know.
And I saw something on... your like a tweet or an Instagram saying that maybe it was edited out that Timothy did.
Yes, according to a friend of the podcast, Michael Harmston, who does a lot of, you know, knows a lot of what's going on behind the scenes. He's ahead of these airings and things like that. Yeah, Timothy, because we saw later on he was sat next to her and you could tell from the body language they were sort of, he was supportive. He apparently did stand up for and intervene and everything.
I mean, that makes a lot more sense.
It does.
Given
it felt like
what issue he's had with them.
Yeah.
Of course he's going to stand up and say, He said stuff like that. I've heard him as well, or what have you.
In that moment, it felt like nobody did. And I was questioning everybody. I was like, this feels like something Lucinda would stand up against. This feels like something that the older people would... It feels like something that people would be like, no, you can't say that. Mm-hmm. But it felt like nobody did. I mean, obviously, I understand it could be edited out.
Yeah, they had... I mean, they had, like, the to-camera bits of Tristan saying, like, my mum would beat me.
Yeah. But there's no point saying it behind Jack's back. Say it to his face. Like, it felt like he was this alpha, like, lion, and nobody was willing
to... Nobody would dare.
Nobody would dare. What's so scary about Jack? He's pathetic.
I know.
And I like to think if I was there, I would have said something. But obviously, you don't know what you're going to be like in the heat of the moment. But I was like, I'd like to think I'd stand up and be like, you have to take that back. You cannot say that to her.
Well, that's why, that's sort of what I was getting at with Jono in the gym when this joke was originally made. It's like, in theory, yes, you should say, that's a bit out of order, that mate. But, you know, you're just there. It's a guy, you're not that...
Yeah, no, I understand.
It's a social awkwardness.
The cowardice was another level.
Oh, God.
The cowardice from, I felt like from the whole group, but obviously especially Jono. And then Lauren was being the brave one.
I know.
And she was, the thing is, you know, there's winners and losers. She came out looking amazing.
Yeah.
Everyone else comes out looking shit.
Yeah.
And especially Jack and especially Jono. So Lauren, I think, could have this beautiful career from this because she's showing, she's showing herself to be really fun, engaging, and like I said, just... on the right side.
Yeah.
But I cannot get my head around him saying, muzzle your woman. Like, your woman, that possessiveness. And then obviously the... Like, none of it's... It's so gross. Like... It makes me feel really sad. It makes me feel really angry because it's like, okay, this is the stuff that is still going on. Like, we think we're getting better and men talk like this, and then we see it and we're like, oh wow, they actually do.
It actually still happens. Wow.
To her face.
Yeah, to everyone's face.
I think the thing with Jack, and I hope Tori sees this soon, doesn't feel like she's going to, he is, believe people when they tell you what they're like. He has said to her what he's like. He makes jokes about the other women. He's like, oh, we've got fresh meat coming in. Am I going to fancy them? It's like, believe him when he shows you that he is a truly horrific, misogynistic prick.
Yeah.
And there's examples of ways he deals with other people. For example, the way he deals with Jono.
Yeah.
He was just harassing him. Like, oh, completely. I've told you I find her attractive, haven't I? And then he'd wait to go and answer. He goes, just it's yes or no. Just what's taking so long to answer?
Oh, I know.
But Jono's a 39-year-old man. Like, that was the true sense of the word pathetic. Like pathos, the sadness of seeing a man be that cowardly. Like, that was truly pathetic.
Yeah.
And it was the unnecessary backtracking that he did, though.
Yeah.
Like, he could have just repeated what you heard. You could have just done that. He could have just said, look, Jack, I heard you say that. This is where we're at.
But
instead he goes, oh, yes, no, yeah, I've heard you say you find her attractive.
He said, you can't argue with someone when they're saying no, that's not what I said. Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
I know. But he doesn't even have to argue with him.
You just say,
he didn't even have to argue with him.
We'll agree to disagree.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm not, you know, and I'm backing, not doing it anymore.
I'm backing Lauren.
Yeah.
Because all poor Lauren is doing is repeating what I told her. So it's his fault in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's hung her out to dry. The whole group feels like... I didn't feel like there was support from the group.
Mm-hmm.
No.
They can't have edited out every person.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted the whole table to stand up and be like, Jack, we're all siding with Lauren.
Everyone's
just sat there, like, pushing their little salads around. And I was like, no! This poor woman's just been told to get muzzled.
Yeah. Even the cat's outrage, she just knocks over some bottles, which you might have heard, but I wanted to leave
in
it
protest.
In. To be fair, Sarah's been banging the table enough.
I know. No, I don't want to be like pearl clutching and ridiculous. It's just awful. One thing I did want to say is it's really interesting to see the way Jack talks about Tori and the way he talked about his ex-girlfriend. And they're saying, like, oh, he's told Tori she's going to move to the Gold Coast.
Oh, yeah.
And you can see that his pattern of behaviour is to promise someone the world, be really affectionate and coupley, and be like, yeah, there's a future for us. And then be like, why did you think we had a future? Yeah. Like, you're so into this. I'm not this into it. Like, how embarrassing. Why are you so into this? It was more serious on her side. And he's doing the same with Tori.
Yeah.
He just likes the control, like you said.
And power and control.
Mm-hmm.
And then... it was fascinating to watch it bloke to bloke, like to see the control and power he had over Jono.
Yeah,
that was horrible.
It's like, I'm a loyal guy, but if you cut me now, then that's it. Well, fine. I'm not bothered.
What do you want him in your life for?
That's what Like, we're watching him, we're like, this isn't somebody you want to be friends with. He's just told your wife to be Muslim. Like, why would you support him against Lauren? Also, I wouldn't want to get on the wrong side of Lauren.
I know.
It's like, these serial killers like Ted Bundy and everything. Oh, they're amazingly charismatic and stuff. It's like, Jack isn't.
No, he's not.
He's not dull at as all. Fuck. That's the thing I don't get. I don't get the power he has over the group.
Although, to be fair, there was... Sorry to interrupt. No, there was that amazing story where he put on 5 kilograms on his honeymoon and managed to lose it all. That was fucking scintillating.
Yeah. I guess we only see what we're shown, and he must have some level of... I don't want to say charisma, but some level of, like, control over the other men or something. For Jono to crumble like that, it was embarrassing.
It was embarrassing.
And he's like 10 years older than him as well. 39
No, I think Jack's older than I realised. I noticed last night. He's 35. Right. He's 7, 8
years... He's 35!
Yeah. He's 7, 8 years older than Tori. I only realised that last night.
Okay. Right. I thought he was much younger than that.
I thought maybe 30. 35?
Yeah.
Right, well...
Right, so...
That makes things worse.
For some reason.
Yeah, I don't know why.
He's basically a boomer. No wonder he's so dated in his opinion of women.
To bring it back to Lauren, though, which I think we should do, some of the things I liked was, one, that she didn't... Because she was basically there by herself, as you said. We didn't see her being supported. But she didn't do the thing of crying and walking out.
Which I wouldn't have blamed her for either.
No, I don't want to make it sound...
I can't believe she sat there for that long. Because I don't think I could have.
It was a really strong move.
I kept thinking she was going to cry and she didn't, because I would have. And she also said, I don't need a man to back
exactly.
me.
Yeah.
I don't need a man to back me, but it'd be nice. Yeah. And like, what a line.
Yeah.
This woman, like, she could have scripted this and not had it any better play out. Because I know that she didn't, like, win the war, but she's going to... No, was it the battle or the war? Anyway, she didn't win that particular night, but she had the moral victory. And she carried herself so well.
Definitely.
I just kept thinking somebody like Cassandra or Lucinda, somebody who's got a bit of soul, would come and back her and stand by her and be like...
Yeah.
But it just really felt...
possibly did.
They must have done. They must have done.
Or even like Sarah, who was on her side the whole way through.
Yeah.
Sarah with that incredible dress.
Oh, you couldn't stop going on about
I could not believe how see-through that dress was.
I mean, I kind of loved it. She looked amazing.
I mean, it was amazing.
She's got that real senorita look, which
she did.
The red lip and the little slicked hair and the black lace with the butt. I was like, girl.
What did you think of Lucinda's dress?
I didn't love it as much.
Yeah,
but I like that she
wasn't a hit for Lucinda this week. But you know, like it will be next week.
Yeah, I like that Lucinda's very expressive with her earrings and her crazy hair and her like not crazy hair, like her different hairstyles and her outfit. She always has colour.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the girls have some wow outfits.
Yeah.
Something else I wanted to mention about it was the whole bro code. The whole bro code thing. Anyone who uses the term bro code or then has to invoke bro code is I'm not going to use that word. Like they're awful. They're
just put them in the bin.
Inherent red flags. Because I've been asked, you know, about this locker room talk kind of thing, and I've been in different sports clubs and things like that. And the only people who would make jokes like that. Are the red flags.
Yeah, of course. Mm.
So it's the same thing. Anyone who would say, oh, you've broken the bro code, it's like, it's probably you're just a twat and you're doing stuff that is not good to your partner.
Yeah. I think it's quite dangerous. I think that sort of level of misogyny is quite dangerous. That's what scared me. That's why I paused the TV and screamed because I was so angry.
What did Johnny say to that?
Johnny was on my side. Like, luckily I didn't marry an ignorant kid. Like, he was just as shocked. I guess we weren't shocked because, like, we know this exists. I know this exists. But, like, to see someone wear it with almost pride on national TV, I just... The balls on that man.
But the thing is,
no, that's the wrong expression because he's. Anyway, carry on.
The thing is, it's so basic, but the reason gaslighters or whatever toxic people use deny, deny, deny is it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you can see there in front of Johnny, you're just like, I don't know what to do.
He
just keeps saying no.
He literally gave up. I know.
Just gave up. Totally gave up. But then also backtracked.
Yeah.
He could have given up and gone, look, I give up. I don't want to talk to you about it anymore. I'm done. He could have done that.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been bad enough.
I know.
But then he said, yeah, you have said you find her attractive. So is he then lying? And why are you lying on Jack's behalf?
I know. And then I'm not proud of this, but it ends up me feeling more pissed off at the people in his periphery, which is like Tori and Jono. I felt pissed off at Jono for being so cowardly, and I felt pissed off at Tori, and it's really victim blaming on my part because she's under his like weird control. And I'm like, come on, girl, you just heard him insult your friend. You heard him say you're not attractive. He's tried to pimp you out as a quote-unquote joke, and then you're there stroking his arm. I'm like, come on.
But this we spotted this early on when maybe after the first dinner party, when Jack had said, they were having breakfast the next day, and he said to Tori, oh, and that other thing squawking at me across the table.
Know,
and Tori didn't say anything to defend her.
No,
she was just like, oh, Lauren is a lot.
I know.
You know.
But like, even not saying something to defend Lauren is one thing, but then not picking up on how he talks about women is another thing.
Yeah. You have to it's another Bronte situation where you wonder, is it just the next... She's Bronte 2.0, where she just wants to be on for exposure, good or bad. And she's slightly better at playing the game. She's learned from Bronte's mistakes, maybe.
I don't know. But it makes her seem like quite a sad case. Like, you don't want... I just wanted to wake up.
And also, Lauren had the... I've put it on a few different posts that I've done, that Lauren had another final rejoinder against the bro code, is that he's not going to suck your dick at the end of the night.
That's quite a funny one, Liza.
Very funny line.
I mean, it didn't seem to twist his arm, but...
No, I know.
I think it was Ellie.
Well, yeah. I wonder what the commitment ceremony would be like for Lauren and Jono. Because is there coming back from this for them as a couple?
It's interesting.
It's a huge, huge letdown.
Yeah.
I did a poll.
I know, I saw that. Well, like, weirdly, I voted give him one last chance because I don't think he's ultimately a bad guy. I think it was really cowardly.
Yeah.
Well, there's 21 minutes left to vote, so if you're hearing this, it's too late. follow us at Maths Hysteria on Twitter and you can vote. But it was, if you were Lauren, could you forgive Jono? 6%, yes, they'd forgive him. 44%, yes, but last chance. 50%, no, we're done. I know that doesn't quite add up, but I've left out the decimal point.
Right.
Yeah. No, we're done.
So most people. But then a good 44%
It's split between yes, last chance, no, we're done.
It depends on how he perceives it to have played out. If he's really embarrassed of his behaviour and he sees where he went wrong.
He was defensive at the end there. And that was the whole, I told you in confidence. That was him being embarrassed of what he'd done.
In the back of the taxi, they agreed that she had full reign. And she asked his permission. Because sometimes you see it where they really, like, throw their partner under the bus and go, well, I was told.
Yeah.
But actually, she even asked for his permission.
Yeah.
Oh, Lauren, you deserve so much better.
Have we got it all out of our system?
I actually have.
Oh, no, hang on. It's another 10 minutes.
No, I feel a bit sweaty. I think I've got really upset over here. I need a little shower. Gross. Yeah.
Well, is there anything fun to talk about?
I don't consider Madeline fun. But when they said, how did your honeymoon go? I think she said, I'm in love again.
Did you?
And then Ash just did a double take of
his face.
With who?
Yeah.
Can't be me. You've only known me 3 days.
They had two very, very different experiences on honeymoon, didn't they?
And then bless him, I think he said to camera, I think I'm going crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he must feel like he's being punked. And it's 2012 and Ashton Kutcher's going to jump out of behind a bush or Anton Deck.
or he walks into a commitment ceremony and suddenly Darren Brown's there and snaps him out.
Like, he must really wonder, like, which way's up, because
I sort of assumed
I'm in love again. Like, it doesn't even make any sense. She knows nothing about him.
No,
because he doesn't really get a chance to talk normally.
No. Well, maybe it's just enough that he hasn't reacted to her moods,
or the fact he saw a ghost.
Oh, the ghost.
That's true love.
It's
Do you think
ghost,
she'll be upset that he didn't sing for her? To make me happy, just sing.
Oh, no.
That's difficult on the spot.
Fly me to the moon. Imagine if you just had an amazing voice and you just burst into, like, the greatest showman.
Then she definitely would be in love with him.
Like the bodyguard for Hugh Grant's Prime Minister.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Good King Wenceslas.
The reason I wanted to ask for if we had anything happy after all the obviously anger about Jack was Timothy.
Oh, God, that was the bombshell at the end, wasn't it?
Oh, my goodness. I almost forgot about that.
Yeah, I'd almost forgotten about that.
Why? Land on a downer.
No. Why would you... I mean, I guess that's not my personality type, but why on your deathbed would you choose to insult your only living relative?
I've been waiting years for this.
Yeah, but what can you gain? I wonder, like, it's really dark, it's horrible. I wonder if there was some blame around, because obviously the brother committed suicide. Yeah. I mean, this is not a nice discussion topic. Yeah. This is not a nice discussion, but poor Timothy.
Yeah. I know, absolutely horrendous.
And this is exactly what I mean. I say this every week. You start to get annoyed at him for the lack of progress, and then you realise how dark his life has been.
Exactly.
Yeah. How much he's still afloat.
Yeah. It's maybe why it was like, I don't want Luton to suck. Bless this mess is a nice thing to say.
Yeah. My dad hated me. Bless this mess. Yeah. And then actually what's
Flare
really...
Flare in his little pocket square.
Yeah.
No.
What's really sweet about Tristan is he's sort of gently probed in a really non-threatening way.
Yeah.
And also he hasn't got anything to lose or gain with Tristan because it's not his real son. And they're not married. So I guess, like, I mean, Tristan is this really lovely energy presence sort of person, and he just opened up to him. And I guess he's got more at stake with Lucinda.
Yeah.
Do you think it was actually a deathbed, face to face, I don't like you? Or do you think it was an action? Like, you thought it might be...
Well, yeah, I mean, surely very few people, as their dying words, would say, I've never liked you, or whatever. And he did say, didn't he, his parting gift.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wondered if maybe there was an action that Timothy has taken as communicating to him, I've never liked you.
For example, leaving him out of the will.
Yeah, I just wondered if it was a money thing. You know, this happens, doesn't it?
Could be.
So I wondered if it was a will thing, a money thing, you know. I don't know.
Because then it's like, I don't know, is it more insulting, less insulting? I don't know.
It's more dramatic to be like, I've never liked you on your deathbed. Like, is the godfather. Because actually, you'd respect the drama. I don't like what you said, but I like the delivery.
It's tough. It's tough for Timothy.
Some of these people, this is not the show.
Yeah.
They have some... issues, and we all do. We all have issues, but the number of times we've already had to say, "Oh, we don't want to guess," but it feels like they might have this mental health issue, or it feels like they might have this like baggage to unpack, or maybe they're not quite ready for a relationship, or maybe they're not quite sure about their own sexuality.
Trauma,
and there's all these traumas, and I'm like, "Oh, take a breath," because I don't want to assume, but there's signs of certain things, and like Timothy's great, he needs some help.
But I mean, it goes to what you said though, doesn't it? We all have issues.
We do.
So like, who are you gonna get? Even Cassandra, who seems like perfectly balanced, you know,
she's had a lot of trauma.
Yeah,
well, yeah, but I mean,
she so seems
Timothy
to have
must have
well.
Only found out that his dad never liked him 5 weeks ago though.
Oh yeah,
remember?
Oh, yeah, that's a good
he's
point.
That's when off. His dad died, and if that was his parting gift, so you know, it's raw.
Yeah.
Maybe when it's not so raw, he might be more ready for...
Yeah, exactly. Maps. I'd be out shagging 23-year-olds.
It's lovely to hear. That does wonders for our marriage, I'm sure.
Bro code.
Oh. Yuck.
Well, obviously, I've not looked any further than Monday about what's happening next week, but Monday is going to be the commitment ceremony, which is undoubtedly going to be dramatic.
It's going to be a big one.
What are we looking for? I mean, Lauren and Jono or Jack and Tori, what do you think is going to be the... Are you looking forward to more?
I'm not looking forward to Jack unless the experts really pull him up on behaviour that should have him taken off the show.
Yeah.
Like, they took Brad off the show for being toxic.
In the
UK one. And I just think Jack's showing some really, like, quite frightening signs of being, like, a terrible person. So I want the experts to pull him up, but I don't know if they will, and I don't know if he'll listen. But, yeah, I guess I'm looking forward to that in a twisted sort of, like, medieval stocks sort of way.
I think they'll pull him up, but I don't think they'll boot them off the show.
No, I don't.
Call them up. That'll be interesting to see what they've got to say.
Yeah.
And how he tries to.
Well, I don't think they can
wiggle out of it.
Boot him off, because I don't feel there's been any. With Shona and Brad, there was some like particular night, wasn't there, where there
got
was
a bit violent or something.
Yeah. I'm not saying we didn't see that, did we? Yeah.
Because she's totally in with Jack.
I know. And it's not been like a racial slur, but it is like misogynistic slur. Mm-hmm. But then I don't know if it's enough. Is that enough? No. Well, we'll see.
Sexism's not as bad as racism.
Says the man.
Okay, well, that was exciting.
Heavy.
exciting episode. I think we can relax, enjoy our Coke Zeroes.
I actually need a shower. I'm so sweaty after that.
So, until Tuesday, I've been Omar Abid.
I've been Sarah Clark.
I've been Claire Limmer Abid.
And don't forget, we love you beyond, love you beyond, love you beyond. It's fucking stupid.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.